We want to look this morning at the top 10 ways that young people can avoid sin. Now, for those of you who don't consider yourselves young people, I'm going to tell you a secret. A lot of them are exactly the same as the way that older people can avoid sin. But some of them are, you know, somewhat unique to young people. But we want to focus on that, and of course we're looking there in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. We'll pull all of our points from that. Of course, in 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul tells Timothy, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but be an example for the believers in word, in your conversation, in your love, in your spirit, and in faith, and in purity." How can a young person maintain a pure life? How can someone avoid sin? How can we stay away from it? Psalm 119, 9 through 16 was just read for us a moment ago. And we're going to draw those points now from that as we notice some things. First of all, pay attention to God's Word. Now, I know that God's Word is not as entertaining as video games. I know that God's Word being written in a book is not quite as much fun as watching television or going to the movies. I know that studying what God has to say about things may not be quite as socially acceptable as going to a ball game or spending time with your friends at some other activity. But all of those things are fleeting. They won't last. And eventually you'll outgrow them to some degree. And ultimately, what is going to matter is how much attention you paid to God's Word. And as we think about that, think about some passages that were addressed specifically to young people, like this one in Psalm 119. This doesn't say, how can old people keep doing what's right? It says, how can a young person maintain a pure life? How can the youth go the right direction? In addition to actually looking for passages that are actually specifically addressed to young people, what are some examples to youth? And we'll be looking at some of those in some of our lessons throughout this time when we have these youth days. We're going to look at those things. What are some young people in the Bible who did the right thing that are good examples? Of course, we could also say, here are some young people who did the wrong thing. They're bad examples. Examples of what not to do, how not to live your life. And so we want to look at those examples to the youth. Those examples that say, hey, this is how you should do it. This is how you shouldn't do it. Look what happened when this person did it. Look what happened when that person did this other thing. Look how it differed. Look at the results. Did you know that in some of these cases, you can know the future? You can look at what happened with people in the Bible hundreds, thousands of years ago, and you can see what happened with them because of the decisions they made in their life, and you can know that if you live the same kind of way that they lived, you can know what your future is going to be like. I know it won't be exactly the same, but you can know what things God blesses, what things God punishes, and you can know what's going to lead you to good or evil in this world by the things that we see in the Scriptures. We also look in Proverbs at the statements addressed to my son. And there are a lot of those. Now, of course, our young ladies might say, well, that's all for boys. It's true that they are addressed to his son, but there's a lot of good material there for young ladies as well. And a lot of those things that are addressed to sons can just as easily be addressed to daughters, and some of them where he tells his son about what kind of women to avoid. Well, for you young ladies, he's warning you what kind of men to avoid, what kind of young men to stay away from. It's the same on both sides of the fence. And then beware of the sins of youth. Now, we know that sin is not a respecter of age. Anyone of any age can sin and can be caught up in sins of all kinds. But there are some things that just seem to lend themselves more to our youthfulness. The Bible, Paul warns Timothy, flee youthful lusts. There are some things, certain lusts, certain desires, that just seem to be more tempting for young people than they are for older people. So watch out for those. Beware of what those things are. And we have to pay attention to God's Word to recognize those things and learn those things. Second, be totally committed to God. One thing you'll find, young person, and I think a lot of the older folks can tell you this too, when you only halfway do something, when you're half-hearted about something, it doesn't go well. You don't succeed at it. It doesn't matter whether it's sports or schoolwork or a secular job or church work or anything else in your life. If you only halfway do it, then it's only halfway done. You have to be totally committed to God. Put Him first. We need to put Christ first in our plans. We need to put Him number one in our affections. If we love Christ above everything else, then guess what's going to happen? Everything else in our life is going to reflect our love for Him. What kind of job we choose, where we choose to go to school, what we choose to do with our time, where we choose to live, who we choose as a mate, all of those things are going to be directed by what's at the top of that. If we put money at the top of that, then where we go to school, what we do with our time, who we marry, where we live is all going to be dictated by money. If we put fame at the top of that, then all those same things, they're going to be dictated by what will make us the most famous. If we put Christ at the top of the list, then all of those decisions we make are going to be determined by Him being at the top of that list. And everything else will fall in line under that. And then, of course, we must forsake all for Christ. We can't let anything separate us from Him. We can't let anything come between Him and us. And so many times it's so easy. There are so many things fighting for our attention. They're fighting for our time. And so many of those things seem so very attractive. And they seem so very desirable. And they're fun. And they're exciting. But they won't give us the benefit in the long run. And I know it's hard, especially when you're a young person and you think who cares about what's going to happen then? I understand. I was there longer ago than I'd like to admit, but it still seems fresh in my memory. I remember how hard it was, and I remember making the wrong decision a lot of times and choosing the wrong thing, choosing something else over Christ and letting other things interfere with my relationship with Him. And it always worked out in a bad way. We've got to be willing to forsake all for Christ. Put Him first in our plans. We've got to give God our best. And that means knowing what our best is and learning what more we can give. Sometimes we think, well, you know, went to church. Is a couple hours out of your week really giving God your best? I mean, if you have a friend that's going to be your best friend, would you be happy if, you know, you only did something together one day out of the week for a couple hours? Is that really a best friend? Is that really giving your best? We need to surrender to God. There are going to be always, and this for young or old, there are always going to be things that you want to do, that you would like to do, that are not the things God wants you to do. Doesn't matter how old you get, that's the truth. There are things you want to do that aren't the things God wants for you. You've got to surrender to God's will and not yours. And then, of course, you have to make Him Lord of your life. You know, sometimes we don't think about what the word Lord really means. We want Jesus to be our Savior. We want Jesus maybe to be our friend. We want Jesus to be our advocate. We want Him to be there for us. We want Him to be a mediator that mediates between us and God. We want Him to be there for all those things. But do we really want Him to be Lord of our lives? Because Him being Lord of our lives means He gets to tell us everything that we can and can't do. And then we have to obey that if He's really our Lord. You see, some of us want Jesus to be our counselor, which He is in a way. We want Him to be our example, but we don't want to have to follow it if we don't want to. We want Him to be our advisor, where He gives us advice and then we decide whether we should take that advice or not. The thing is, see, Jesus doesn't want that role. He never applied for that job. He says either I am Lord of your life and I tell you what to do and you do what I tell you, or not. But we've got to be totally committed to God if we're going to keep sin out of our life. And then we need to have a deep aversion to backsliding. We need to hate the very idea of falling away from God. Verse 10, he says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Do not allow me to stray from your commands." We talked in our adult class this morning, and I think you teenagers talked about it too, about being sheep and God, Christ being our good shepherd. And we talked about how sheep have a tendency to wander off. They have a tendency to get lost, to stray from where they're supposed to be. And we do too. It's so easy for us to lose sight of what seems like the so far off goal of heaven. I mean, it's way... Oh, that's not going to happen for us. It's going to be 100 years, right? I mean, that's almost like never. It's so far away. But it'll be here before you know it. And if we lose sight of where we're headed, we wander off in our own direction. We've got to beware of that when we stray away from God's commands. And there are so many trying to encourage us to stray from His commands. Oh, you know, that was 2,000 years ago, those things in the Bible. It's not relevant for today. We don't have to do that anymore. There are so many people telling us that those things just don't matter anymore, that's not what God really cares about. That was for back then. We live in a different world now, and it doesn't work the same way as that. Don't believe it. God's commands for us today are the same as they were for the church in the first century, 1900 years ago. You young people of today are dealing with some of the same struggles that the young people 1900 years ago in the church had to deal with. I know there are some things that are different, and some things you're dealing with that they probably didn't have to. But God's commands haven't changed. His will for us as Christians hasn't changed. And then we need to fill our heart with the Word of God. Verse 11, he says, "In my heart I store up your words so I won't sin against you." When we think about Jesus and when he fought Satan, every time Satan came at him with a temptation, Jesus' response was always the same. He didn't get physically violent with Satan. That didn't help. It wouldn't do any good. He didn't pray. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying. Praying's good, but that's not the way to fight when you're being tempted. He didn't just lay down and roll over and close his eyes and hope it'd go away. He certainly didn't give in to it and do what the devil said. He didn't try to compromise and say, "Well, you know, I can't do, you know, you want me to make those stones into bread. I can't do that, but, you know, I can make the stones so that, you know, they'll still have nourishment in them, even though they're still rocks." He didn't try to make a compromise with the devil. What did he do? He went back to God's Word. He quoted Scripture in answer to the devil's temptations. I believe that the reason that many of us, young or old, fall to temptation is because when the devil brings something to us, we don't have an answer for it. We don't know what God's Word says about it because we haven't put His Word in our heart. We haven't stored it up in our minds. So how are we going to answer it? We're not sure. We don't know. God knows. And if we'd study His Word, we could know. If we will fill our hearts with His Word, then we will recognize temptation for what it is, we'll recognize what's sinful about the temptation, and we'll be able to avoid it. When it comes to storing God's Word in your heart, you need to store God's Word in your heart about immorality. What is right and what is wrong? What does God's Word say about right and wrong? What is moral and what is immoral? What does he say about recreation? What activities would be okay for me to participate in and what ones wouldn't? What does God say about my associates, about my friends, about the people I hang out with? What does he say about what kind of people should I hang out with? And what kind of people should I avoid? Now I know, our job is to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth, and we have to go out there and try to reach people. But I'm going to promise you this. It is a lot harder to pull somebody else up than it is for them to pull you down. So be careful. The people you spend time with will influence you, sometimes more than you can imagine. Sometimes more than you realize they are. Now, yes, you can influence them, but you have to be diligent about it. You have to be conscious constantly of what effect they're having on you as well as what effect you're having on them. So beware of what associates you have and be sure that you're influencing them for good and that they're not pulling you away from God. And what about integrity? Being an honest person, being a just person, being a compassionate person, having the kind of integrity in your life that you do the things you know are right, whether they're popular or not. Having the integrity to stand up for what is right. What about God's plan of salvation? You'll hear a lot of things from your friends about how they became a Christian or how they were saved, but what does God's Word say about it? You need to know that because there will be people trying to pull you away from that truth. There constantly are. What does God say about the church? If you're going to be part of the church, you need to understand what you're part of. What does He say about heaven and hell? Where are we going? When this life is all said and done, what's going to happen? How do we get there? And what will happen when we do? Those are just a few of the areas that you need to take God's Word and hide it in your heart so that you can have a reason to avoid sin when sin presents itself to you. Fifth thing we want to notice, is that we can avoid sin by becoming students of the Bible. Not just memorizing His Word and sticking it in there to memorize, but actually be students of the Word. Actually studying the Bible. Actually learning what it says. You deserve praise, O Lord. Teach me Your statutes. Study it. It's there. You can learn it. You know, it's amazing to me how many people think that the Bible, and maybe, you know, I know the King James is certainly not written in a way that young people today understand it. I understand that. There are other translations that are certainly more modern in their words that young people can understand better. But I tell you what, I have heard young people talking about all sorts of things from movies to, I guess when I was a kid, you called them comic books. They're graphic novels now. But you know, all these things, they talk about all these things, and in the computerized world that we live in, and they talk about sports that they're interested in, or all of these different, and they know everything there is to know about all of these things. And parents, believe me, your kids, they know things that we know. They know things that we never even heard of before. They know it, and they learned it, and they understand it. But then we say, well, you know, oh Susie, oh Johnny, they can't understand the Bible. I don't want to pick. I didn't mean you, Johnny. You know, but when we say that about the kids, you know, we say, well, you know, they just can't understand the Bible. It's too hard for them. That's a lie. Now, maybe we try to make it too hard for them sometimes. We make it harder than it is. God communicated through His Word to us in a way that we can understand it and that our young people can understand. Now, I know, you know, we're not talking about the 3- and 4-year-olds who can't read yet. We're not talking about them. But high school students who can read, let me tell you, I remember high school, biology, chemistry, physics. And you tell me they can't understand the Bible? Sure they can. Don't look down on them and think that they're dumb. Young people are not dumb. In fact, they probably know a lot of things that we don't know. Now, that doesn't mean they're smarter than us. We know a lot of things they don't know. So let's help teach them the things that they don't know and learn some things from them too. That we didn't know. But God's Word and studying it and understanding it, not just memorizing it. Anybody can memorize it. I'd get up here and read it. I could read it in a foreign language if it was the right foreign language. I took enough Spanish. I know how to pronounce Spanish words, but it doesn't mean I understand all of them. I could read it in Spanish. I wouldn't get anything out of it, and a lot of you wouldn't either. But understand what it says. The sixth thing, young people can avoid sin by declaring their faith. You know, when you stand up and you say, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I'm trying to live like Him, guess what? Then you know that people are looking at you and expecting you to live right. And that in and of itself, just knowing that others are watching you and looking, that can be an aversion to doing the wrong thing. Because you know, hey, you know what? If I do the wrong thing, they're going to see that, and that's going to reflect badly on Christ. Don't be ashamed of your mother or father. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. That doesn't mean that every mother and father out there is good or does what's right. I know there are some horrible ones out there. But we still honor that position of authority with respect. Don't be ashamed of that. Never be ashamed of the Bible. You know, that's one of the, you're one of those people that believes in the Bible. you don't believe in evolution. You believe in that creation stuff. Huh? You're stupid for believing that. Don't be ashamed of the Bible. The Bible was around a long time before the theory of evolution, and honestly, If the world lasts long enough, the theory of evolution will go by the wayside. They'll come up with some new theory. They've already been through several different theories of one kind or another, and they'll go through several more, and the Bible will still be here because God's Word lasts forever. And scientific theories, they go by the wayside every few years. They have to reprint the science books because they've completely changed what they believe. What they believe. They have faith. They just have faith in themselves instead of in God. Never be ashamed of the Bible. Don't be ashamed of the church. The church is the bride of Christ. If you're ashamed of His bride, you're ashamed of Him. And if you're ashamed of Him, He says, I will not confess you before my Father in heaven if you're ashamed of me. You confess me. Confess Him and admit to His bride's an important part of that. Church is the bride of the Lamb. Never be ashamed of your convictions. You know, somebody, Xander and I were watching a movie last night. That's one of the good things about being sick. You get to watch movies, you know. Not the only good thing about it. Oh, and I lost some weight. That happens too. But we were watching a movie last night, though, and there were some teenagers. And they came in, and these boys, teenage football players, they're talking, you know, their girlfriends all left to go to the bathroom, which girls, you know, you can't go by yourself. I understand that. I don't know why, but I understand that it just can't happen. So all their girlfriends went to the bathroom, they're talking, and one of the guys, he's not the most handsome of guys. You know, he's kind of overweight. Like he was the lineman, you know. He's overweight like me. And they're like, wow, how'd you get such a beautiful girlfriend? He's like, well, she asked me out, you know. They're like, really? And so then they made some, okay, you're having sex with her, aren't you? They didn't say it quite like that, but that's basically, y'all are sleeping together, aren't you? And he said, no. He said, we're waiting. And they said, waiting for what? And he said, well, we're waiting for the big day. And they're like, what big day? He said, we're waiting until we get married. And they, what's wrong with you? What would you do that for? But he was right. He was outnumbered. The others thought he was crazy, but he was right. When you have convictions, and you know what's right, don't be ashamed of that. You know, one young lady was being mocked for being a virgin by some girls of loose moral character who had been sleeping around with every guy in the neighborhood. And she said to them, you know, anytime I want to, I can become like you. But you can never come back to having what I have now. You see, there are some things that when you lose them, you get. Now, I know, yeah, somebody who's sexually impure can straighten their life out and they can stop being immoral. They can go back to living the way God wants them to. But you know what? They still lost it. They still don't have what they had before they lost it. Don't be ashamed of your convictions. Stand firmly on those. Number 7, develop a proper value system. What's truly important? What is really worth it? Notice what he says. I rejoice in the lifestyle described by your rules as if they were riches of all kinds. What's it worth? You know, the psalmist and the writer of Proverbs as well talks about so many times comparing God's law and God's blessings to jewels and fine gold and all of these things that people value. And he said, this is what you should, this is the really valuable stuff right here. Develop a thought process in your mind that says, these are the things that are really valuable. They're what's really worth something. The 8th thing, respect God's ways. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and have respect to your ways. I will focus on you, Lord, and on who you are and on your behaviors and your ways of doing things. I'm going to have respect for that. And you know, when we have respect for that, we're more likely to live like that. How can we avoid sin? Respect God's ways of doing things. And then the ninth thing, have joy in His Word. What makes you happy? What brings joy to your life? Most people would never say, well, you know, the Bible, that's the thing. Boy, hearing something from the Bible read or hearing a sermon, boy, that's what really makes me happy. Ooh, I get so excited. But if we can find joy in God's Word, then we're going to look to it instead of the pleasures of this life. You know, God never lies to us. He tells us straight up. And isn't this good, young people, that God doesn't lie to you? You know, God could have come out and said, sin's no fun, so, you know, don't do that, because if you do, it won't be any fun. He doesn't do that. He comes out and He says, you know what? Sin has its pleasures for a season. He admits, sin is fun. But there's a consequence. That fun brings some misery down the road. But it seems fun right then. But you see, if you have joy in God's Word, if you have joy in doing good works and in doing good things for others and being kind and loving and generous and serving others, and if you have joy in that, there's no negative consequence down the road. There's no waking up feeling guilty. There's no hangover afterwards. It's all good, and it keeps being good. And then you have good memories and good results. And that's a wonderful thing. We need to have joy in His Word. I find delight in your statements, the psalmist says. And then he says, the tenth thing, I do not forget your instructions. We are a forgetful people. It's easy for us to forget things. Remember. Don't forget. We need to remember that forgetting God and forgetting His Word will certainly lead us into sin. The writer of Ecclesiastes, in Ecclesiastes 12:1, says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. While the evil days have not come, nor the years when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember God now while you're young. Remember Him while you have the energy and the zeal to do what you want to do with your life. Because the time will come when just getting through the day is going to be a struggle. And you won't have the abilities that you have now. You won't have that, oh, look, I got all this, I got my whole life ahead of me. You won't have that. Most of your life will be behind you. And it'll be, you know, there are a lot of people, I've met a lot of people who later in life baptized one lady who was 94 years old. You know, she regretted that for the first 94 years of her life, she hadn't lived it for God like she should have. You see, you're very fortunate. If you're a young person here today, you're very fortunate because it shows that you have somebody in your life that cared enough about you to want you to get started young, learning about God and doing those things that would be right so that you can live your entire life for Him. You can avoid a lot of the regrets that a lot of us older folks that maybe didn't always live for God have had. You don't have to have those. You can do it right the first time around. Now, that doesn't mean you'll never sin. Unfortunately, even though paying attention to God's Word, being totally committed to God, having a deep aversion to backsliding, filling your heart with God's Word and becoming students of the Bible, declaring your faith, developing the right values and respect for God's ways, having joy in His Word, and remembering and not forgetting His sayings. If you could do all that perfectly, you'd never sin. That's what Jesus did. Jesus never sinned. But like the rest of us, you're not going to do that. I wish I could say you would. Give it a shot, though. Prove me wrong. I'd be glad for somebody else to show that, hey, you don't ever have to sin. But the good news is, when we do mess up, Jesus is there for us then too. He teaches us how to avoid sin, but then He's there to lift us up when we do sin. If you're here this morning and you have sin in your life, sin that you could have avoided, every temptation comes with a way of escape. You could have avoided it, but you didn't. Whether you're young or not, you can keep yourself unspotted by the world. But if those times come when you do get the spots of the world on you, Jesus' blood can cleanse you. If you're not a Christian, you can become one, believing in Him as the Son of God, being willing to repent of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being willing to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away. You can start a new life. Be cleansed from those spots of the world. If you're here and you are a Christian and you've allowed the spots of the world to get on you again, you too can have those washed off. If you're willing to repent of your sins and pray, the Father is willing to forgive you through the blood of Christ. Start those things over again. If you have a need to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.